Good morning, Ed. Welcome. For those who don't know, Pastor Ed was here 6 years ago, 7 years ago, for 10 years, 11 years. I'm 1 year out each time, but that's okay. So that means I'm turning 52 again, because I'm 1 year out. I think that we should actually have a new rule where there's a pastor emeritus, they should have to be the one to preach when they come back and you know. So welcome. It's lovely to see you. How is Linda? I can imagine. Please send her our love. It's just lovely to see you. Good morning. Happy New Year. I hope that over the last couple of weeks you've all managed to enjoy some good time with friends and family, some downtime, some rest. I've had a great time with my whānau, lots of good food, unfortunately, and some good time playing games. And this is the joke for the morning. I was reading, sorry Greg, brace yourself, he doesn't like my jokes. Here we go. So I was reading about a new craze that's kind of started, and it's kind of a community-based game of hide and seek, where you get a group of people gathering and you play out in the streets of your neighbourhood. And I thought this would be great. We could do this as a church. I could gather a whole group of people together and play. But as I kept on reading, it told me that good players were hard to find. So I gave up. I'll keep trying. I put that one away. But the sermon today is called Still Seeking Jesus. And I came in this morning, and you might not see this at the back, and the wee crib, not made to proper image, without baby Jesus, was still there on the stage, and I popped it back into my office. And then as I was going around the church, I thought, no, I'm going to put it back. Because, you know, Christmas is such a time when we are so focused on this wonderful good news of God breaking into our realm. But we often keep picturing him in a manger, in a crib. And he's not there, folks. He's not in there anymore. But are we seeking him? Are we still seeking Jesus? I could have called this, are we desperately seeking Jesus? I'm showing my age because that's a reference to Desperately Seeking Susan. It's an old movie. But I'm wondering how accurately that describes us this morning. Are we still seeking Jesus? As a church, as individuals? You know, as Adam said, in calendar terms, we're still in the Christmas season. I don't know who reads the news here. You'd have heard about the ceasefire in the Ukraine war that had been called for 36 hours. It's because in many church traditions, Christmas Day isn't the big day. It was Friday, which is the day of Epiphany. And so there was a ceasefire called. The day of Epiphany, Epiphany comes from a Greek word and it means revealed. And it's the day that many church traditions celebrate the Magi coming and finding this infant Jesus. When this infant Jesus was revealed to the world. And I say infant, but actually kind of our manger scenes do us a little bit of a disservice, or it does the Magi a little bit of a disservice. You know, when we think of our wonderful nativities, we have the angels and the shepherds and the little baby Jesus in the manger and the animals and Mary and Joseph and the Magi and the camels all kind of crowded into a stable. But the Magi had about 1,000 miles or so to travel. And it was on horseback and camel. And it would have taken them quite a while to get there. The little baby Jesus would have been a little baby no longer. he would have at least been toddling around the house. And this new holy family would no longer have been in the quarters of the animals. They would have at least shifted into the guest room, if not their own house in Bethlehem. It was a lot of time that these magi were traveling and seeking after Jesus. What a quest! Can you imagine what that travel would have been like for the Magi and their entourage? Because we're expecting there wasn't three of them, right? We kind of, in our minds, that you can't fit lots and lots on a nativity scene. But if you're traveling for that long with a pack of horses and a pack of camels, you're needing to take servants, you're needing to take supplies, you can't stop at the 7-Eleven or the Pack and Save. And they set out to who knows where, to find, not really sure, just to him who was born the King of the Jews. But who were they seeking? And we know the Jews had been seeking the Messiah for a long time. They've been anticipating the arrival of one who would return them as a nation to their country, to bring them out of exile, to one that would come, bringing righteousness and justice, one who would unite all people under his banner. He was Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner, uniting them. And a rule and a reign of peace. And we know we heard from Micah last year as we read through the book of Micah. And in that book, we have him foretelling of a time when this new king would come out of Bethlehem. And from that very first time when we get the angels appearing to the shepherds in the fields with their flocks at night, we have a trail running throughout the New Testament, running throughout the Gospels, of people seeking after Jesus. Who can you think of who sought after Jesus? Remember, the less feedback I get, the more of my voice you get. That's a win-win. Yes, Anna the prophetess, the same day that Simeon saw Jesus. So Jesus, 40 days old, presented at the temple according to the law. And Simeon, it says, were told, the Holy Spirit had told him years beforehand that he would not die until he had seen the Messiah born. And that day, as Jesus was presented by his parents at the temple, Simeon took Jesus into his arms and said, God, I can now go. And Anna came up and looked at what was happening. And then it says she went and told anybody who was at all interested that the Messiah was here. Seeking Jesus. Who else? Nicodemus. He went to seek after Jesus in the middle of, well, late at night, wasn't it? In the dark, we're told. And what was the beautiful verse that gets told to Nicodemus? One that most of us know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever should believe, yes. See, Jesus didn't speak in verses. He didn't say John 3:16. He spoke that in a conversation to Nicodemus. Isn't that beautiful? Nicodemus was seeking out Jesus. Who else? Mary and Joseph, they were seeking him out, weren't they? I'm pretty sure they were really anticipating his arrival. When he was 12, at the temple? Yes. Didn't you know it'd be about my father's business? Yes, that's Sam laughed because that's what he would have got. Herod was definitely seeking him out, but not to worship the king of the Jews, but seek him out he did. Yes. So we have, who else have I got here? The Magi, we've mentioned already, seeking Jesus. Zacchaeus, scooting up a tree, seeking out a better vantage point, but finding a saviour. To all the people who followed him, to the multitudes on the hill, seeking a teacher and wisdom, wondering what this guy was all about, being fed by a couple of loaves and a few fishes. To people looking for healing and finding salvation. You know, to members of the Sanhedrin, like Herod, coming to him looking to trick him, wanting words of sedition. Should we pay our taxes? What about the people who on Palm Sunday, what we remember as Palm Sunday, lined the roads of Jerusalem as Jesus entered on the colt of a donkey? They were seeking a Messiah, weren't they? They were seeking someone to take them away from this oppressive Roman occupation. And the soldiers being led to the garden by Judas, they were seeking Jesus as well, weren't they? And then afterwards we have Nicodemus again and Joseph of Arimathea, who sought the body of Jesus to be able to put him in the tomb. And then 3 days later, he was sought by the women, and they couldn't find him because the tomb was empty. Throughout the New Testament, we just have this constant thread of people seeking, desperately seeking Jesus. And so my question to you today is, how are we following on those generations? And are we still seeking daily Jesus? He's no longer in the crib. He is no longer in the tomb. But he can be found. We have these wonderful, wonderful passages about seeking God. And I think the two most well known by me, which is why I've chosen them, from Jeremiah 29. But I think we often stop at verse 11 and 12, don't we? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Those are great words. But carry on, because God didn't speak in verses either. This is part of a bigger passage. It says, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will be found by you. And in Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Seek and you will find. But again, this English translation, I've preached on this before, it doesn't quite do this verse justice. Because the verb here that's being used conveys a continuous action, not a one-time event. A better understanding of it would be to ask and keep on asking and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be opened. Desperately seeking Jesus means to seek and keep on seeking him. Not because he's playing hide and seek with you, because there's this wonderful cause and effect of effort and reward. He will be found. Again, showing my age, who has seen the movie The Horse Whisperer? I think this came out before I was married, so it must have been about 98 or 99. There's a wonderful scene in it where the character played by Robert Redford, the horse whisperer, well, he's a character, who hasn't seen it? It's about a character who has a talent for taming seemingly untamable horses. There's one point, one scene in the movie where there is an already terrified horse who was further frightened by somebody's cell phone going off. And it gallops away. It just absolutely canters far into a huge field, as only America can do huge fields. And, oh my goodness, here we go again, everybody thinks in the movie. And the horse whisperer just kind of, okay, here we go. And plods on and plods into the field. And you think, okay, here we go. We're going to get this amazing scene where he goes and gentles this horse and it's going to be a big tussle. But he doesn't go anywhere near it. He walks into the middle of this huge field and it's just so far away from the horse still. And he just sits there. And he just waits. And the sun starts to go down, and the light starts to get a bit darker, and we get the impression that good old Robert Redford has sat there for hours. But hours seems to go by. And then, drawn by we don't know what, maybe it's just profound curiosity, but the horse is drawn into the central character. The horse comes and seemingly seeks out this man sitting, doing nothing seemingly, in the middle. And at first glance, it would really see that that horse is doing all the work. But actually, we realize that the horse is being sought. This man has sought out the horse by putting himself right in the place where that horse will find him. Now, you can only take illustrations too far, can't you? But this is a beautiful illustration how God positions himself in kind of the fields of our life today. It's kind of like the worst but most beautiful game of hide and seek that I can imagine. People, God has arrived. He is here, but he's no longer in the crib. Where is he? Are we seeking after him? You know, I sometimes think if he's that man in the middle of the field waiting for us to come up to him, but there's a whole bunch of people actively looking everywhere else but. And I think there's probably a bunch of us who think that God is so hard to find that instead of looking out into our everyday lives, we're there kind of picking up tiny stones and pebbles, wondering if he's under them. And there's others of us, I think, who's given up looking, thinking God is just too important to worry about being in the field of my ordinary little life. and there's others who are doing the hiding. Now, I've been known to have, don't look at me like that, Jeremy, I've been known to have the odd adult tantrum when I can't buy the same model cell phone that I have had for the last 8 years. Certainly hope that God doesn't look on that. But just as we are seeking after God, he too is seeking us. You know, those of us who are lost, those of us who are hurting, those of us who know him a little, those of us who know him a lot, and all of us who want to know him a whole lot better. But he doesn't just simply call from the fence line of our life. By the Spirit, he's drawing us to himself. He puts himself right in a place where he can be found. You know, but it's difficult to stay in the hide-and-seek game sometimes, isn't it? Because life has disappointments. Life has hardships. We experience grief. We experience pain. Let's go back to our friends, the Magi. And think a little bit on their journey. It would have been quite an undertaking. It wouldn't have been without hardship. But we do know one thing from our Christmas story. They lasted the distance. They kept on searching. They sought after him despite personal hardships, despite it being uncomfortable, and despite there being kind of dead ends. Still they sought after him. And after this long and potentially dangerous journey, they didn't find him in a palace. At the very best, as I said, by the time they would have got to him, although he wouldn't be living in the animals' quarters, the Magi would have found him in a working-class Bethlehem house. Jesus probably didn't look like a king. He wouldn't have been dressed like a king. He didn't live like a king. There were no servants. There were no fine linens and fine tableware. But this year, as a community of believers, as a church, we're going to be seeking Jesus together. And as individuals, I hope that you're going to be seeking him personally too. And we're going to experience all sorts of things. We're going to have joys and we're going to have some grave disappointments, I'm sure. There's going to be highs and lows. And Jesus is probably not going to be what we expected to find in some cases. And I'm pretty sure he's not going to do everything that we want him to do. But like the Magi, we have to learn to push through, to keep on seeking, to keep on searching, to look beyond what our personal expectations are when we get to the palace, and to get on. You know, those Magi, they assumed that this new king would live in a palace, right? But when they get there and inquired, they could have looked high and low for days in that place, and he wasn't there. But they didn't give up their search, and they found him 11 k's down the road in Bethlehem. So as you and I seek him this year, we're going to find him in ordinary places, in the ordinary events of our life. Just as he placed himself in ordinary events of life when he walked this earth. You know, when he was here, we would have found him maybe teaching in the temple, at a wedding, helping out a distressed host who'd run out of wine, having a meal in the village of Bethany, walking through fields and teaching about worry and how God loves the sparrows and the flowers of the field. And we would have found him at a tombside, grieving with heartbroken relatives. Just as Jesus placed himself in the events of everyday lives then, we're going to find him in the events of our everyday lives now. He positions himself, and we can be certain that God is not hiding himself, even though sometimes he can seem hard to find. God has not stopped seeking his people. So this year we're going to have three main preaching series. Kind of it's the year of Trinity, but we're not going to be bogged down with the nature of the Trinity, the mystery of the three in one. Instead, we're going to focus on seeking after and getting to know better the three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. Adam's going to start us off in the first series next week, which is the names of God. I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully we start to get to know the three persons of the Trinity a bit better as we seek after them. We know they're seeking us still. And one of the other ways we're going to be seeking after God this year is to continue some different prayer practices like we did last year. So we'll revisit some of the ones that we did last year. We'll probably have our wailing wall back again for a wee while. But we'll also do some new ones because God doesn't meet with us all in the same way. And just as we have different conversations with different tones, with different people, God doesn't want to have the same conversation with us all the time either. So we're going to try some new practices. Today we're going to have star words. We're going to give these out at the last song. And they are little words. And I'd invite you to take one to keep with you for the year. Now, as you do, there are a few things. I'd encourage you not to look through them and take a word that already means something to you or speaks to you. But try resting in the Spirit and having the faith and knowledge that God seeks to speak to us and reveal himself to us and is able to through whichever word you get. And I'd encourage you to take the word and put it somewhere where you will see it often. And thirdly, I'd encourage you to, when you're looking at this word, spend a bit of time in silence and waiting to hear from God. Because that's one of the aspects of prayer I think we collectively tend to be not so good at. We're all in a hurry to tell God what he already knows. So I'd encourage you with these words to spend some time in God's presence, seeking what it is that he wishes to show you, to reveal to you this year. It may take a whole year. It may not happen overnight, but it will happen. God is still seeking his people. We've got some great sermons. We'll be having some great sermons by some great people. We'll hear from Pamela during the year. We'll hear from Jeremy again during the year. We'll hear from Stephen. You'll have some so-so sermons from Adam and myself. Lots. And if Ed comes back, free space. But we're going to grow in our knowledge of God as we seek after God. But these things are only tools. They're only tools in our hands. And we all know that a tool in a toolbox doesn't do anything. It doesn't accomplish anything. As we pick them up, as we put them in our hands, and as we seek out God, it's up to us to nose around the field, to keep our eyes open, our ears open, to keep watch for God's presence and his voice. But as we keep seeking, you know, as we seek God and we keep on seeking, God promises us he will be found. Yeah. Thank you.